Hello and welcome to the Expansion Room. I am Siobhan Larice, your host for this new show here on talkradio.nyc. And I am glad to be here. And I'm glad that you all are here to join me for this first episode. A little bit about me and why I wanted to start this show. I am a psychotherapist with 20 plus years of experience working with clients around depression, anxiety, PTSD, autoimmune issues, as well as pain management. And I am also a certified coach and yoga therapist, as well as psychedelic therapist. And I wanted to start this show because I wanted to bring together all the modalities that I work in. There's so much overlap in those spaces. And I wanted to be able to have a space to talk about all those things without having to divide myself in parts. I think also in working with so many different clients over the years, and in some ways not being able to always overlap those things, I felt like having a space like this could help clients who I've worked with in the past, as well as the general public, to be able to bring those things together. We are in an interesting time right now in reference to mental health. So much has changed, especially since 2020. And people are trying to access services to manage their mental health. And some of them are brand new to a system that seems to be shifting and changing every day. The idea of the lone therapist in a small little room who meets in person with their clients on a weekly basis without insurance seems to be fading away. And the insurance companies, as well as some other systems, are really causing us, the therapists who are licensed, to really rethink how we bring mental health to clients. And so here we are in the expansion room. And so we hope that over time, the information that you gain from each episode, each week, helps to shift things in your life, move the needle in your life in some ways. So what is the expansion room? This is a transformative space that we are developing for purpose-driven individuals, for professionals, creatives, and people who are navigating big and small life transitions. And so in this space, we are looking to go beyond surface level success, surface level tactics to get deeper into healing, inner clarity, and soul aligned growth. In doing so, we're looking to shift and rewire old limiting beliefs and ideas, as well as rewire our nervous systems. We are looking to navigate burnout, life transitions, and identity shifts. We're looking to also embrace mindfulness, embodiment, and holistic wellness. On the show, we will have real conversations on healing trauma, reclaiming our sense of purpose, and leading from within. Also, we will be talking about integrating altered states of consciousness that include psychedelic experiences from time to time. And with the way the health industry and the mental health system is shifting, I am well aware that it is time for each of us to take more of a hands-on approach to our own health, our own mental health, as these systems may not be available in the same ways that we were once used to. And so that leads me to want to talk about our first series that we're going to be running on this show, The Expansion Room. We are going to be talking about how psychotherapy, which is traditional talk therapy, and prescription medications that psychiatrists prescribe are the ways that we have traditionally thought to manage one's mental health. And in some ways, that has worked fine. Talk therapy, when combined with medication, is usually a way for people to best manage mental health. I'm not a huge advocate of people taking prescription medication without doing psychotherapy, because interestingly enough, most people don't positively respond to mental health medications that psychiatrists or your medical doctor might prescribe. Only about a third of people who are given these medications respond well and can use them over time. But even that one third, eventually some percentage of those folks find that the medication stops working and then they have to try to find something else. And so medication by itself can be kind of iffy. When put with talk therapy of some kind, and I always recommend to people that they shop for a psychotherapist. Meeting with two or three, having a free consultation to talk about your needs and see if you're a good fit is really imperative because this is going to be the person that you're talking with on a weekly or biweekly basis and sharing your most intimate life struggles and information with. And so you want to feel like, as some people like to say, you want to feel like you vibe with that person. And you want to know if they are offering the style of therapy that you most need. And so pairing those two together are key. And so millions of people manage their mental health every day around the world with these two things. But did you know that pairing traditional treatments with holistic approaches could significantly enhance your well-being? It could significantly improve your mental health and your life. Holistic integrative mental health care looks at the whole person, not just symptoms. And that's part of what our healthcare and mental health care system has fallen short, I believe, around for many, many years. Not taking the whole person into account. Mind, body, and spirit are important. And focusing on creating lasting wellness from the inside out really has to be our focus. So in this series, which I'm calling the Holistic Mental Health Approaches, we will take a look at various approaches that can go a long way to improving mental health and one's overall well-being. So this week, you just have me. But there are going to be some weeks that I invite in guests who are going to help us tease out some of these subjects that we're going to be talking about. Today, we're going to talk about movement, particularly exercise, moving our bodies, and the scientific information that is out there that helps us to understand why moving is such a good thing for our mental health. But next week, we will also be talking about how nutrition affects our mental health. And I will have as a guest one of my fast-growing favorite people, Frank R. Harrison from Frank About Health, to talk about nutrition and how that plays a role in our well-being and our mental health. Later down the line, we'll talk about sunshine, how the sun affects our overall mental health, getting out in nature affects our overall mental health, as well as alternative forms of medicine, chiropractic, acupuncture, all these kinds of things will be part of this series. So today we will talk about movement, what the science says, as well as give you some practical tips on how to incorporate more movement into your day-to-day life. And it doesn't have to be an hour or two that you spend in the gym 5 to 6 days a week. So we're coming up on our first break, and I hope that you will continue to join us for our next segment, where we'll start to look at the science and some of the research that has come out in this way. So thank you. Take it away, Jess.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
So welcome back. Let's talk about the science behind movement and mental health. Besides psychotherapy or medication for our well-being, there is so much that we can do for ourselves to manage mental health. At a chemical level, most of us talk about maybe endorphins, dopamine, serotonin released in the brain. But believe it or not, most of those neurotransmitters actually happen down through the central nervous system into our gut. And so part of us moving is helping that process along. And we'll talk more about that in this series as well. So we'll come back to that. But exercise or movement is one of those underutilized things for bringing about more production of those neurotransmitters. And that can help transform our mental health. At a chemical level, movement changes our brain. When you engage in physical activity, whether it's walking, running, dancing, yoga, or strength training, or as we also know it as lifting weights, your body releases endorphins, which are those feel-good chemicals that we're all looking for. And when we have those feel-good chemicals, it signals to our brains and our bodies and our central nervous system that we want to do that again, right? So we don't always think about exercise as something that we really want to do. But when you start to get into it, especially a form of exercise and movement that you really enjoy, it can become something that you actually enjoy. Endorphins help us to relieve stress. Endorphins help us to also relieve pain. So sometimes a chronic illness can cause us chronic pain, which then can therefore lead us to experiencing more anxiety in our lives or even depression. And so we'll talk in the last segment about how to incorporate and shift mindset around movement and exercise. But even in living with pain, we can find some level, for most of us, find some level of movement in order to improve our mental well-being. So it doesn't stop there with endorphins. Exercise increases all levels of dopamine and serotonin, two of the key neurotransmitters that regulate mood, motivation, as well as emotional stability. These are all the same brain chemicals that are targeted by antidepressants. And so when you move your body, you're helping your brain and your central nervous system to produce them naturally. So bringing those two things together can give you more of a feeling of well-being. Another important player here in adding movement in is something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Thinking of BDNF as kind of a fertilizer maybe for your brain, it supports the growth of new brain cells and strengthens the connection between them. So it used to be this idea that as we aged, our brain cells started to die off and fall off, and you couldn't change that. And it kind of went along with that old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Well, the science in the last 20 or so years have debunked that. And basically, as long as we are alive, as long as our brain is functioning, we can actually make new brain cells. So this is where that word that I think a lot of us have started to hear in recent years, neuroplasticity, comes in. So moving your body encourages neuroplasticity. It encourages the growth of new brain cells. This is crucial for the brain's ability to rewire itself. And in doing so, can also lower the incidences of depression and anxiety and trauma response. So think about that. Just something as simple as incorporating going for a walk every day could help your brain to function better, to create brand new cells, to keep your mind feeling young, to keep the symptoms of depression low. So one of the things, you know, sometimes people ask me, well, how do I know so much about health and its effect on mental health or wellness information? I, in my early 30s, started to experience what we now call symptoms of fibromyalgia. And eventually, after years of going back and forth with the doctors, trying to figure out what was going on, they gave me that diagnosis. I still don't know how accurate that was, but that's where we were. My experience with it was roving pain in my joints and throughout my muscle structure that caused me to be in pain more days than not. One of the things I realized, and I was in my 30s, late 30s when I started to really realize this, was that I needed to take my own health and therefore mental health into my own hands, because our healthcare system is amazing in a lot of ways, but for acute stuff. If you live in a major city and you are in a car accident or you get shot or something happens that is a trauma to the physical body, usually a great thing. You can go to a hospital and see a great doctor and get repaired, so to speak. But for chronic stuff where it's hard to explain and there was no injury, it's harder for them to manage for you. And what they know is to give you medications. And I am not a fan of just giving medication without really, for symptoms, without really knowing the undercause. And so I started looking for what could make me feel better. And so for me, it was the bringing together of several different modalities. So having my own therapist at that time, getting back into yoga for physical movement, because I felt like yoga would be gentle enough for me to keep moving without causing more pain. And so when I got back into the yoga and started to actually feel better, I decided to take my first yoga teacher training and then eventually went on to a yoga therapy certification, because I knew that for some people, their mental health was affected by pain in their life. And that was the start of my journey towards healing the physical body that I move around in. Now, I'm from New York City, so I love that my show is on talkradio.nyc. I grew up in Queens, and I wasn't really much of an outdoorsy kid. My mom was a runner, and I'd get up with her in the mornings, and she'd run around the track, and I'd sit on the bleachers and root her on. She always tried to get me to run. I was not a fan. But as I've gotten older, I now live in Maryland, and I have gotten really into the trees, into nature, and I enjoy going for hikes, and I enjoy going for walks. And I now see the benefit of those walks, including with yoga, in my day-to-day life to keep my physical body feeling better, as well as my mental health in a good place. So what does it mean in real life terms when we talk about adding more movement into or exercise into our daily lives? It doesn't just help you feel better in the moment, it actually supports your long-term brain health and emotional well-being. So taking this one step further, we can look at how it applies for specific conditions, right? So for those dealing with depression, studies have shown that moderate aerobic exercise 3 to 5 times a week, and when they say moderate, they mean a 20 to 30 minute stint of movement, could be just walking, can be just as effective as taking an antidepressant for some people. For anxiety, movement helps regulate stress response. It lowers cortisol and it calms the nervous system. All important when you're dealing with anxiety. Even just a 20-minute walk, and I would venture to say taking that 20-minute walk out in the sunshine. And then PTSD survivors often benefit from trauma-informed movement practices like yoga and tai chi, which help them reconnect in the present moment to their bodies in a safe way. And ADHD, ADD, exercise boosts focus and executive functioning by increasing dopamine levels, and similarly, it does this to stimulants. One of the researchers that I talked with some time ago, about 2 years ago, their research showed not only just exercise for ADD and ADHD brain, but exercising outside in nature was so important because nature gives the brain some nuance. And so with that nuance, it activates the brain for a person who's living with ADD. So those are just some of those things. Now, we're about to take our second break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about PTSD in particular and what the research has shown in reference to that diagnosis. So join us again in a couple of minutes.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. So let's come back to PTSD and also what we call complex PTSD. And when we think about PTSD, or the initial thought, at least for folks in my generation, we think about people coming back from war and the experiences they may have had in a war may cause them to come home with trauma responses that they did not have when they left. And we now know that that diagnosis has been expanded out to anyone who has experienced a traumatic event or series of traumatic events, is the short definition. And some time ago, I took a training with Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. He is the author of the book, one of my favorite books, The Body Keeps the Score. He is, or at least at that time, way back when the research began, was based in Massachusetts. And he's a psychiatrist, and he was working with people who had experienced trauma in their lives. And, you know, as a psychiatrist, he did what he was supposed to do, giving them the diagnosis, treating them. And back in those days, psychiatrists actually did talk therapy. Most today don't do that, but he had group therapy going on, individual therapy going on. And what he began to realize that talking was not enough to heal the trauma that his patients were experiencing. And that he started to see there was a physical or somatic component to their trauma. So he started researching. He started a research program and began to figure out that it's not just here that we experience trauma, but it's throughout our central nervous system, that it holds up in our bodies. Think about if you know someone who's had a traumatic experience in their lives, and maybe it has something to do with war or violence, and they're somewhere out in the community or out in the world, or maybe in their home, and a loud noise suddenly happens unexpectedly. Their body automatically reacts in ways that maybe a person who's not been in trauma responds. And so he began to realize that people holding that level of trauma needed to be able to release that trauma. When we are dealing with symptoms of PTSD, we are not living in the present moment. There is this way of always scanning your environment for safety, whether consciously or unconsciously, not feeling safe or comfortable in your own body, and not able to fully connect with your environment, with the people in your environment, because of what you're experiencing inwardly. And a lot of messaging goes with that in your mind as well. So what came out of his research was phenomenal, and it has changed the course of the mental health community ever since, because it really enabled us to invite mindfulness practices into the therapy room without it feeling like it was some woo-woo thing that we were doing. Right. And so in Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score, he discusses several somatic practices or body-oriented therapies that could be helpful in healing trauma. This included neurofeedback, yoga, particularly yoga therapy or trauma-informed yoga, and oriented therapies that were more about healing instead of talking, feeling, and getting dropped into your body again in a safe way. Also, what we now know as EMDR was also something that came out of his research, the eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy. He highlighted the importance of mindfulness practices, body awareness exercises, and breathing techniques. These practices help individuals to reconnect with their bodies and regulate their nervous system and process traumatic memories in a safe and embodied way. embodied movement where you're able to step back into the inner experience of your body supports emotional release and your central nervous system's regulation. So when I went to his training, and I believe this was probably back in 2000, maybe 15, he actually came to Silver Spring, Maryland, which was wonderful. It was a 3-day training. I was excited because I was already stepping into the yoga therapy world for myself and starting to work with clients in this way. And he was able to kind of walk us through the mindset shift that we needed to have as therapists to be able to see when talk therapy was not enough. And so since then, I have incorporated, particularly in my sessions with clients who have PTSD or high anxiety, breath practices, yoga, as we know it here in the States, but also yoga nidra, which are all central to help calming one's central nervous system. So when we think about conscious movement, right, yoga comes into play. And walking out in nature with your therapist, perhaps, comes that part of movement comes into play. Tai Chi is also a conscious movement activity. All of those help you to drop into your body and use breath as your focus or your anchor in those moments. Giving some ideas of maybe how you could use movement in your day-to-day life. Think of short spurts, right? It doesn't have to be, I mean, unless you're really into like going to the gym and working out hour and a half, 2 hours a day. One of my favorite YouTubers, Dr. Atiya, medical doctor, one of the things he said in a video that I watched some years ago was how he himself manages his own mental health. He is an avid mover. Even when he's traveling, he gets to the gym. He noted if he goes 2 or 3 days without it, he notices a shift in his own mood, his own mental health. So that's key to keep in mind. I notice it when I don't move for a while. If I don't get on my mat, if I don't go for a walk in my neighborhood outside or even get on the treadmill in my house, I notice a shift. I can be really cranky if I haven't moved my body. So thinking about practical ways to integrate movement, think about short spurts. It could be training in the gym, strength training, cardio, but simpler is going for a run if that's in your wheelhouse or your capacity, but going for a walk might be better, right? Just in your own neighborhood or in a park that has trees. Going for hikes, cycling, taking a yoga class, or using YouTube. YouTube has so many free exercise classes. Believe it or not, which I discovered in the pandemic, was so surprised. So taking a yoga class, chair yoga class, Pilates, stretching every morning, going out dancing with friends, or just dancing in your living room or kitchen. One of my most fun things I love to do with my partner is when we cook together, we turn on music and inevitably there's some dancing that goes on in my kitchen, which is a lot of fun. Think about 10 minute, 20 minute and 30 minute spurts of exercise. Just depends on how much capacity you have each day. And one of the things that's really interesting is sometimes people are all or nothing with exercise or any change they're trying to make. But exercise. They feel like, well, if I can't do this level, I'm not going to do it. Or yesterday I was able to do 45 minutes of such and such, and today I feel I only got 15 minutes in me. I won't do it. Every little bit counts towards your improved mental health. So there are mornings where I get up and I have lots to do before I get my day going to meeting with clients. And I might only get in a 10 or 15 minute walk around my community. Other days I have time and I get in a 30 minute walk in my community. If I have time on the weekends and the weather is good, I might go for an hour long hike, right? So it just depends on your day to day. Don't allow yourself to put it off because you can't do more than 10 minutes. And that 10 minutes, if you work in an office, can be you getting up and walking around your floor of where you work, or walking around the building that you work in and coming back upstairs. When I used to work for the federal government, I realized all the smokers got a 10-minute break pretty much every hour. I was like, well, I'm going to take a smoke break. So almost every hour, I would go downstairs, walk up the street and back down the street and come back into the building just so I could stretch my legs. So every little bit of movement counts. So give yourself that, right? Stretching is a wonderful way to keep your body nimble and young, right? But also to keep your mind moving. There's this thing called fascia in our bodies. And it's kind of like the web. And I put my fingers this way because it's kind of like this web that runs through all of our joints and our muscles. The densest place of fascia in our bodies is our low back. What do most people complain about, especially if they have to sit all day for hours at a time, is a tight low back. So if you get up and allow yourself to gently stretch, you feel better, both physically and mentally. And stretching your fascia signals to the brain, everything is okay. So think about ways that you can incorporate even 10 minutes at a time in your day-to-day life. And it doesn't have to be all at once in the morning. If you spread it out throughout your day, actually the science shows that that is actually more helpful than just getting in a burst of exercise in the morning. If you live in a house that has stairs, let the stairs be your exercise. That's one of the things I do. I work from home most days. And so I will literally get up between sessions, run downstairs, get some water or a snack, and run back upstairs to my office. So allow yourself to be innovative in how you get that in. So we're about to take another break. And when we come back, we'll talk about, wrap this up and talk about some more practical tips and shifting your mindset around movement.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to our last segment of the first episode of The Expansion Room. And so before our break, we were talking about ways to incorporate more exercise, more movement into your day-to-day life to improve mental health. So 10-minute increments are great. Also, getting together with other people and moving is great. Going dancing, that used to be my favorite way to move my body before the pandemic. I've kind of gotten out of the habit. I probably should get back into the habit. But it can be as simple as if you have meetings at work, maybe ask your coworker or coworkers if we can make this a walking meeting, right? Or if you work from home, do you have one of those walking pads that you can set up so that you can walk while you meet, right? Dancing with other people, either in your kitchen, in your own home, or in a space that is set up for dancing is another way. Think not boring. Like, what are ways I can move my body that are not boring and that I can laugh and engage maybe with other humans and allow myself to not take myself so seriously, all right? So mindset around movement, around exercise. We live in a culture that seems hyper-focused on physical appearance. And so for a lot of people, even the conversation around exercise feels prickly. It feels not safe. It feels uncomfortable. And I get that. I would invite you to think about exercise for your physical health, but more importantly, for your mental health. Right? So when I get on my treadmill in the morning, especially in the wintertime when it's gray and I'm grouchy about it, about being up and having to get dressed and do anything on a cold gray day, I know I'm not going to walk outside. I have my limits in temperatures in being outside, but I will lace up my sneakers and walk on my treadmill and remind myself that this is for my mental health. Right. And so body image aside on this one, if you can feel better mentally, you're going to feel better physically. And you want to have the ability and the capacity to feel better. And you want to do that in whatever ways your body will allow. Knowing that if you don't really like exercise, just know that you don't have to. You do not have to suddenly fall in love with exercise, get a gym membership if you don't already have one. just allow yourself to broaden your definition of movement and exercise to encompass what you enjoy or what you want to do in order to move your body. Inviting in more movement into our lives clearly doesn't have to be about physical appearance. It can solely be about your mental health and your mental health only, which will bring about better or improved well-being. It can be something that you take pleasure in eventually, but it doesn't necessarily have to. It can be in the equivalent of, oh, I have to take these pills or this prescription or do this mundane thing. And you don't put any negative energy to it. It's just this thing I do for my mental health. Anything that you can come up with. And so one of the things that I found really interesting in the research that was done, I believe it was in 2005 by Dr. Blumenthal, was that he looked at the effects of exercise training in patients, middle-aged patients with depression, as well as older patients with depression. And what they found was after 16 weeks of doing exercise along with medication, and then another part of that group were doing exercise without medication, they found that exercise alone was just as effective as medication after 16 weeks. And the benefits lasted for many of the participants weeks after that. So know that adding movement into your life is going to be a long-term gift that you give to yourself. And you deserve to give yourself a gift. I am one of those people who have tried a lot of things for my mental health and for my physical well-being. And I am looking forward to sharing those different things with you in the coming weeks on this series. I invite you to join me next week, where we talk about nutrition for mental health. And we're inviting Frank R. Harrison to that conversation, where we'll also have a demo of a dish that will be made in reference to ingredients being used in reference to mental health improvement. Thank you for joining me for this first episode of The Expansion Room, and I hope that you join me every week on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. talkradio.nyc. Thank you. Thank you.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health. And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas. which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.